Good morning, Chavez and Caldicott and Chelston Rise. It's Tuesday, the 5th of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. As usual, the keen-eared listeners of Chelston Cum Corcord were quick off the mark yesterday. Mark Hunter, clerk of the council, was first in with a correction at 8:43, hoping to beat H to it. At the end of yesterday's podcast, I said that we're entering into our sixth week of lockdown. Oops again, as Mark pointed out, it's actually the seventh week. My only defence is that us pensioners don't know one day from the next, let alone what week it is. Then at 14:07, Stephanie Chadwick pointed out that I was wrong about the maypole dancing being completely out of date. I'd forgotten the Water Yard community on Water Lane. After Steph and Chad refurbished Maynard Baxter's cottage, they threw a May Day party for the residents of Water Yard in 2012, and they've continued this ever since. And that May Day party certainly includes maypole dancing. In fact, this is the first year that they've missed since then. Steph sent in a brilliant picture, which will be added to the Parish Council History website. There's a young, well, relatively speaking, Jim Stops in the background of the picture holding maypole tapes. So I think this actually means that Jim was actually dancing. Jim Stops also contributed another Maynard Baxter story late on Sunday, and I'm beginning to realise that Jim spent as much time in Maynard's kitchen as I did. Maynard told Jim of how he learned to swim. Maynard and his mates dammed the stream across the road from the end of Water Lane, in what's now Ray Knight's dog training field. They managed to flood the field to a sufficient depth for them to swim in the pond. Now that shows great initiative, but I'm not sure how Ray's grandfather reacted at the time. Sharon Hegarty then sent me in a fascinating newspaper article from August 1980, in which Maynard Baxter also featured. Maynard pointed out that the people of Chelston Cum Corcord had a reputation of being very lucky. Disaster has struck the village many times, but no one has died or been hurt in these disasters. In 1924, fire struck the thatched cottages in St George's Row. Someone had to cycle to Higham to summon the fire brigade to their first fire in 5 years, but no one was hurt. And Maynard Baxter's father was one of the first on the scene. In 1956, the houses on High Street were thatched and also caught fire, but again, no one was hurt. And there was also a Baxter in that picture too. I'm beginning to see a pattern. Also in the 1950s, the almshouses on the sloping green at the top of Water Lane fell down like a pack of cards. Only one of the houses was occupied at the time, and the lady involved had popped down to the post office. When she returned, her house had quite literally fallen down. Fortunately, she wasn't hurt, but she did struggle to retrieve her possessions. And then in 1970, the old village institute on the site of the JST storage yard collapsed under the weight of the snow. Luckily again, no one was hurt. And then we had the uranium scare in 1995. 900 kilograms of depleted uranium was found in drums fly-tipped on Carr Farmer's land opposite Chelston Rise. When the farmer tried to sell them for scrap, a radioactivity detector was set off at the scrapyard and all hell broke loose. I remember driving home from Bedford that day and being stopped by a soldier in a full hazmat suit and told to turn back. Fortunately again, no one was hurt. And in 1998, two of our local lads sloped off for a crafty smoke in one of the barns next to Top Farm by the pub. They climbed up onto the haystacks, out of the way of everyone. But when one of them flicked their cigarette stub away, the wind blew it back and it dropped down right between the bales. 5 minutes later, the lot went up. It was a conflagration. And I remember I was driving back from Milton Keynes at the time, and I could see the plume of smoke in the sky from as far away as Oney. It just got bigger as I approached the village. The barns were completely destroyed, and the result was Disbrowe Court. Now, those young lads escaped unhurt and were seen running off, but to their credit, they came to see me next day. They wanted to confess what had happened. The flames licking around their feet had been terrifying, and they'd had nightmares the night before. But at least again, they escaped unhurt. However, you can imagine the local fire chief had a few words to say to those lads. Now, between 2001 and 2008, suspiciously, there were four major fires that burned at the World Rubber Recycling Plant just across from Chelston Rise. These fires burned for months, and I really mean months. You could see the glow at night. And they cost hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of damage. But again, fortunately, no one was hurt. And even last year, arsonists set fire to Keith Carr's barn on Bidwell Lane, completely destroying it. All the horses in the livery yard had to be moved to safety, and we were just minutes away from houses in Bidwell Lane being evacuated. The fire service needed so much water that the taps in Chelston Rise ran dry. But again, no one was hurt. Now, Mark has recorded all these incidents on the parish history website, and when you read them, you have to really wonder about our village. Are we indeed charmed? We've got 230 houses in that village. That's not so many. How can so many incidents happen in such a small place? And more importantly, how lucky are we that no one has ever been hurt in these incidents? So, Chelveston, Caldecott, and Chelston Rise, we know we can face adversity and overcome it. We've faced many emergencies before and triumphed. We know we can do the same with COVID-19. Thank you.